The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Korean Radio.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand.
See Live Off the Record with Shivago Lang is brought to you by Alive, Burger King, The Cleveland Clinic, Commonwealth Bank, Prince Masters, RF Bank and Trust, Southwest Plaza, and Star General. Insurance made simple.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. On this beautiful, beautiful Monday afternoon. This is the first show of 2026. And I want to take this opportunity to wish you a very happy new year. I trust that it is so far working out for you the way you would like. And if not, hang in there. And keep at it. If you want to give us a call today on the show, the numbers to do so are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316. 325-4316. You can also call us on 325-4259. That's 325-4259. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. We are live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow channel 612. That's BTC Flow channel 612. I'm grateful to be here in 2026, to be here and in my right mind and spirit and in reasonably good health, and to have all the opportunities present and emerging to make myself of use in the world. I'm grateful to be a Bahamian, grateful to be to live in the Bahamas, and I am grateful all the family and friends and the neighbors I have, and I'm grateful to Almighty God for hope in His salvation, for mercies and graces from Him to deliver me from all my faults and failings. I'm grateful, truly grateful to all the people who pour positively into my life, enable me to grow and develop as a human being. This new year, this year, will carry with it many legacies of last year. Even though we see it as a start of a new calendar, the truth of the matter is it will represent a continuation of many things that have happened and continue to happen over many calendar years. This year, for my family as an example, my dear cousin, Philippa Newton, who had been battling cancer for some time, who has been an example of how in attitude and spirit and faith you ought to fight something so formidable as cancer, went on to glory on January 1. faith and in an attitude, never complaining, also sorrowing that we have lost such a dynamic and beautiful soul in Philippa. So the year started off in that regard with sadness. And others, too, are facing this sadness. In 1983, I became head boy of Hawksbill High School in Grand Bahama, the largest school in Grand Bahama. My head girl was Maureen Hall. She was a twin. Her brother, Maurice Hall, also was a classmate of mine. And I was sad to learn of the passing of Maureen Hall this year, just days ago. And so there are others too who are confronted there to I started for some people with immense sorrow and challenge. I'm going in and out, says someone. I don't know why that would be. Anybody else hear me going in and out? See if we could sort it out. Or is it on that side? But the year started out with immense sorrows for some people. And that's not everybody. Lots of people started the year not having to confront those things. But as we say, you know, when these things happen, really what matters most is how we respond. Okay. Producer, let's take a break. Let's see if we could figure out what's going on. I honestly don't know, but let's see if we could figure out what's going on. Take a stand, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Send you know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel like you've been down the same road.
At Cleveland Clinic, care is everything. So when your primary purpose is to care for the world, you'd start with your community until you're accessible anywhere. You make complexities your specialties and put compassion before anything else, all to redefine what's possible for everyone, everywhere, for every care in the world. Cleveland Clinic.
Boost your buying power with a margin loan at rates as low as 7.5%. A margin loan offers convenient flexibility, freeing up capital without liquidating your investments. Whether you're looking to diversify, fund a business opportunity, or refinance higher cost debt, RF provides access to cash within 48 hours for any purpose. Tailored, effortless, powerful. Discover how a margin loan can work for you. Visit rfgroup.com or call 603-6000. RF Bank and Trust. Money at work. Boost your buying power with a margin loan at rates as low as 7.5%. A margin loan offers convenient flexibility, freeing up capital without liquidating your investments. Whether you're looking to diversify, fund a business opportunity, or refinance higher cost debt, RF provides access to cash within 48 hours for any purpose. Tailored, effortless, powerful. Discover how a margin loan can work for you. Visit rfgroup.com or call 603-6000. RF Bank and Trust. Money at work. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm. Send you know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel like you've been down the same road. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. Hopefully we now have the technical issue resolved. Not on my end, I understand, but in any event, I think this will resolve it. And so you could let me know if you are hearing any issues. But in summary, what I was saying was the year has started off for some people with much sorrow. In my own family, my cousin Philippa Newton passed away. She's the daughter of Virginia, my aunt of Virginia. And she and their siblings and her son, Willie, only child, by birth, they are all grieving. And even though they celebrate what was a champion's fight on her part against cancel for some time. And then I was saying that when I was head boy of Hawksville High School, I had a classmate who was head girl of Hawksville High School, Maureen Hall, Dr. Maureen Hall, and that she recently passed, we learned. And I was able to connect with her twin brother of that. And so that family, no doubt, is finding this a difficult thing to have to contend with. A little child died suddenly. We had reported that another was brought in the hospital ill. And that family, those families, facing challenges. And others, no doubt, that I know of and don't know of. So these things can happen. And the question is, how do we respond to them? We mark the calendar as a new year, and that's what we mark it as. But these years bring legacy issues with them, things that stem from things that happened calendar years ago. And so while we, in our heads, have the psychological notion of newness, there are many things that linger, many things that can be remain challenging. Mind you, there remain many things to celebrate, many things to be thankful for. But nonetheless, there are challenges that continue to mount. And so I'm sure you, like me, have been observing the happenings in our world. None more perhaps significant, and some might say consequential, than the decision by the U.S. government to go into Venezuela and to capture the indicted Venezuelan controversial president, Nicolas Maduro. The reaction to that action has been stunning. People have been stunned by that action. People who acknowledge that Maduro was a figure of great controversy, some who would outright say not a good person, a criminal, a dictator, etc. But to have a country decide unilaterally to go in and capture, that's the word being used, some say kidnap, a sitting leader of a state is and has been shocking. That's not just outsiders saying it, that's insiders in the United States saying it. So I want to let you listen to, firstly, how the President of the United States of America described the situation, not Trivago Lang, but President Donald Trump describing the U.S. action. Producer, please.
Late last night and early today, at my direction, the United States Armed Forces conducted an extraordinary military operation in the capital of Venezuela. It was a force against a heavily fortified military fortress in the heart of Caracas to bring outlaw dictator Nicolas Maduro to justice, but captured along with his wife, Celia Flores, both of whom now face American justice. Maduro and Flores have been indicted in the Southern District of New York. We're going to run the country until such time as we can do a safe, proper, and judicious transition. So we don't want to be involved with having somebody else get in, and we have the same situation that we had for the last long period of years. So we are going to run the country. Very importantly, the embargo on all Venezuelan oil remains in full effect. The American Armada remains poised in position, and the United States retains all military options until United States demands have been fully met.
The U.S. running the country mean that U.S. troops...
There you go. So that's the President of the United States of America describing the situation. Now I want you to listen to the Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, describing the situation, please.
Nicolas Maduro was indicted in 2020 in the United States. He is not the legitimate president of Venezuela. That's not just us saying it. The first Trump administration, the Biden administration, the second Trump administration, none of those three recognized him. He's not recognized by the European Union and multiple countries around the world. He is a fugitive of American justice with a $50 million reward, which I guess we saved $50 million.
And we should make sure.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. But
don't let anybody claim it. Nobody deserves it but us.
But I want to be clear about one thing. Nicolas Maduro had multiple opportunities to avoid this. He was provided multiple very, very, very generous offers and chose instead to act like a wild man, chose instead to play around. And the result is what we saw tonight. The other message here is the following. You have a guy, like many people around the world, they like to play games. You have a guy who decides he's going to invite Iran into his country, is going to, you know, do the confiscation of American oil companies, is going to flood our country with gang members, is going to take Americans prisoner and try to hold them for hostage and trade them like he was able to do with the Biden administration. Basically likes to play games all this time and thinks nothing's going to happen. And I hope what people now understand is that we have a president. The 47th president of the United States is not a game player. When he tells you that he's going to do something, when he tells you he's going to address a problem, he means it. He actions it. I can tell you, I've watched this process now for 14, 15 years, been around it. Everybody talks, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. When I get there, we're going to do this, we're going to take... This is a president of action. Like, I don't understand yet how they haven't figured this out. And now, if you don't know, now you know. Because this is the way it's going to play out.
That's the Secretary of State commenting on the situation. Now, we could hear from a Democrat on the matter, and we will. We can hear from a Republican on the matter, which was not easy to find, to be quite frank. But Bernie Sanders has been a kind of in-between person. While he does caucus with the Democrats, he's more, you know, been more of an independent, maverick kind of thinker. And so let's just hear Bernie Sanders commenting on this situation. Bernie Sanders.
Thanks very much for joining me. Donald Trump has once again shown his contempt for the Constitution and the rule of law. Let's be clear. The President of the United States does not have the right to unilaterally take this country into war even against a corrupt and brutal dictator like Maduro. The United States does not have the right, as Trump stated this morning, to run Venezuela. Congress must immediately pass a war powers resolution to end this illegal military operation and reassert its constitutional responsibilities. Trump's attack on Venezuela will not make the United States and the world safer. Quite the contrary.
Okay, there you go. President, the Secretary.
More money back in your pocket with the Fidelity Debt Consolidation Loan. Why pay more when you can pay less? Reduce your monthly debt payments down to one low, easy payment. Apply for a Fidelity Debt Consolidation Loan today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
As a healthcare professional, you dedicate your life to caring for others. But even with the best care, legal challenges can arise. Protect your practice and your peace of mind with medical malpractice insurance from Star General. At Star General, we've partnered with Lloyd's of London to bring you comprehensive professional liability insurance designed specifically for those consulting or practicing privately. Visit our website today so you can focus on what you do best, caring for your patients, while we take care of the rest. Star General, insurance made simple.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon, January 5th, and our first show for 2026. Can you believe it? 5 days already gone in 2026. 5 days. 5 days, and lots happening in the world. As we were talking about the U.S. action in Venezuela, we heard from President Trump, Secretary of State Marco Rubio, and Bernie Sanders. Now, let me say that I have no interest on this show of litigating the legality or illegality of the actions that were taken. I have views, for sure, but that's not what I want to be taken up with today, but more to speak about this issue broadly and some of the questions and concerns it might raise, okay? Venezuela has been on the global map for some time. If you have been paying attention, you will note that Hugo Chavez, probably the most familiar and controversial leader of Venezuela in modern times. He had almost, in some ways, a kind of cult following in Latin America. He was quite a charismatic figure. I was attending the Summit of the Americas in Trinidad and Tobago when Hugo Chavez came in, and only one other person commanded as much press and commanded as much attention as Hugo Chavez, and that was Barack Obama, the president of the United States of America. Chavez, of course, had shifted Venezuela more in the direction of socialism away from the Democratic Republic that it was up to that point. And, of course, Venezuela has found itself in some significant political instability arising from contested presidential elections for some time. The most recent would have been the one in which Maduro claimed the victory in the election versus Guido. And Guido, of course, had been recognized by many countries, including the United States of America, as the legitimate president of the United States of America, I mean, of Venezuela, as opposed to Nicolas Maduro. And it was since Maduro's rise in 2013 to power that the United States had regarded him as an illegitimate leader. It would be wrong to think of Venezuela's problems with the United States of America in particular, or the world in particular, as beginning only with Maduro. In fact, America had been issuing sanctions against Venezuelan persons or entities since 2005, 2006 for either trafficking issues or drug trafficking issues or humanitarian issues or, you know, actions against the U.S. Interest, business, the economic interest, and so forth and so forth. Those sanctions that began in 2005, 2006 were narrower, but were escalated by the first Trump administration and then carried on by the Biden administration, and then, you know, now inherited and being again focused upon by the second Trump administration. Nicolas Maduro has not been regarded as a principled person by many countries around the world. So he is not a hero to anybody. He's not regarded as a person who would get a great deal of sympathy in of his character or behavior or conduct as a leader of a country. That is for certain. But that would be no different than other leaders of countries who are not highly regarded as principled, charactered, or lawful, or these kinds of things. So, but he did have the one significant thing of it regarded as illegitimate in terms of his presidency by many people in the world. Now, illegitimacy as a president doesn't in and of itself get you ousted. Because we've seen many of people rise who people who regard as illegitimate, and nobody goes in and captures them. In the instance of Maduro, the president of the United States of America, Marco Rubio, are claiming to have seized him on the grounds that he has been indicted by the United States of America. And that rather than volunteering to do what they require, et cetera, they went ahead and took military action to seize him. Is it legal? I don't know. Is it illegal? I don't know. I have views. Other people have views. Other people more abundantly knowledgeable, smarter than me in the matter have views. But that's not my thing today. I looked at it, and I have to tell you, it stunned me and scared me that such an action took place. I ain't telling you no lie. Did? Because as in my infantile understanding of world affairs, international law and practice and precedents, I thought to myself, how do you interpret this action? If you want to know how frightening it is, you look at and listen to what the people in our world are saying. Read the response of your government as an example. So this is Obama's government responding to what has happened. And I want you to listen to it. I want you to listen to the Bahamas government's response. And I read it. Press release, Ministry of Foreign Affairs, statement by the Bahamas on the present situation in Venezuela for immediate release, 4th January 2026. This is the statement. Nassau, Bahamas. The Bahamas takes note of the statement of the CARICOM Bureau of Conference of Heads of Government issued on 3rd January 2026 and supports that statement. Of particular importance to the Bahamas is that all parties involved act in accordance with international law. Owing to the current security situation, the government of the Bahamas advises Bahamians to not travel to Venezuela. We have expressed our concerns through diplomatic channels regarding the safety and security of a Bahamian national who is currently unlawfully detained in prison in Venezuela. If you or someone you know is currently in Venezuela and requires consular assistance, please email consularcrisis@bahamas.gov.bs. End of statement. So that is... that is the Bahamas' statement. CARICOM's statement on the matter, I'm trying to find, essentially acknowledged what was happening, confirmed the importance of the rule of law, and so forth and so forth. That was a statement from the CARICOM Bureau. My understanding from comments made by Prime Minister Mia Motley was that the CARICOM heads that had an early morning meeting following the events in Venezuela and had decided to postpone anything because not all heads were available because of the earliness of the meeting, and that they would subsequently issue a statement, which they did. Listen to, if you read our statement, the Bahamas' CARICOM statement, which is, you know, very much like that. And the rest of the world, many, there is a certain kind of subduedness about this. Certain kind of subduedness. Certainly not the same sharp response as was had when Russia went into Ukraine. There is much trepidation, it seems, on this matter. You think I don't understand it? I understand exactly why. This is a frightening moment. It is frightening. It's what it is. You're listening to Sea Live. I'm Chivago Lange, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together. Storm, whatever weather, cold or warm.
Boost your buying power with a margin loan at rates as low as 7.5%. A margin loan offers convenient flexibility, freeing up capital without liquidating your investments. Whether you're looking to diversify, fund a business opportunity, or refinance higher cost debt, RF provides access to cash within 48 hours for any purpose. Tailored, effortless, powerful. Discover how a margin loan can work for you. Visit rfgroup.com or call 603-6000. RF Bank and Trust. Money at work.
At Cleveland Clinic, care is everything. So when your primary purpose is to care for the world, you'd start with your community. Until you're accessible anywhere, you make complexities your specialties and put compassion before anything else, all to redefine what's possible for everyone, everywhere, for every care in the world. Cleveland Clinic.
Colina is Bahamian and proud and celebrates 52 years of our nation's independence and our company's lasting partnership with its citizens and residents. From hard times to good times, Colina has been at your side, covering, protecting, securing since 1899, helping generations thrive. Colina, caring for you, then, now, always.
At Master Technicians, we have what your family traditions need, starting with industry-best refrigerators, ranges, and ovens. We also carry Whirlpool washer and dryers, dishwashers and freezers, leading KitchenAid countertop appliances, blenders, microwaves, juicers, kettles, and KitchenAid stand mixers. We even do free delivery in New Providence or to the boat of your choice. Whether you're doing the laundry, creating new memories in the kitchen, or spending family time in front of the television, Master Technicians Limited, keeping family traditions alive for more than 50 years.
Put more money back in your pocket with a Fidelity Debt Consolidation Loan. Why pay more when you can pay less? Reduce your monthly debt payments down to one low, easy payment. Apply for a Fidelity Debt Consolidation Loan today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. We have been talking about the events in Venezuela. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316. Or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. This text says, good afternoon, sincere condolences. I knew Philippa, a woman full of life, a champion who fought to the end. I'm here for you. Grief is a difficult process, especially in this early in the year. Appreciate that. Thank you. It says, Mr. Lang, you are so correct. A close friend just found out that he has to go on dialysis 3 times a week. That could be very disturbing, I'm sure. It says, good day, Lang. Didn't the U.S. kidnap 90 from our prison in Nassau and lock him up for 40 years? No, it did not. 90 was extradited on the Bahamas as an extradition treaty to the United States of America. And under that treaty, if sufficient information is supplied to justify the extradition, then the Bahamas, in agreement, will then extradite someone. Same thing could happen with someone from the United States. And so, no, it's not the same thing at all, and you shouldn't even think that it is the same thing. It is not. It says America itself is seen by the world as wicked, sir. Trump also is not seen by the world as a moral man, so it's irrelevant how the world saw Venezuela's leader. Well, you could say how what is irrelevant or not. That's your point of view. But if the world sees something a certain way, it does matter. It matters to how they respond and how they react. So with the greatest respect to you, it does matter how people see you, right? It does matter. And I wasn't giving my opinion of what he's seen. I was talking about how he's seen in the world. And that does matter. Now, whether that matters to how the world responds to this action, that's a different story. I do think it matters. I think if Maduro was regarded as a principled figure, a lawful leader, and so forth, and that happened, the world reaction would be much different. At least, even though they may have a view on this particular action, how they view this action in the context of Maduro may dictate and shape how they respond to it. So don't let anybody fool you. Just because in your head you think something is not the case doesn't mean that you are the people in the world. And we are seeing how the people in the world are responding very cautiously. And rightfully so. If you are the Commonwealth of the Bahamas and someone thinks that you should go out there and express some kind of bravado and use a big, big man and this was unlawful and they shouldn't have done this, et cetera, and you want to put yourself out there, if you think that that's the way the Bahamas should act, you would, to my mind, you do not have a sense of the moment. Did you hear what the Secretary of State said? This should be a message to all of you, the President of the United States is a man who says what he means and means what he says. That's what he said. And if he tell you he can do something, he can do it. He didn't say within the context of the law. He didn't just say within the context of international law. He said if he says he can do something, he's going to do it. And you go out there and play, you're a big, big man. Oh, he's a big man, eh? Oh, I see. You don't like Trump. You don't like President Trump's action. Oh, I see. Okay. Of course there should be caution, pragmatism in this hour. And the Bahamas should act in tandem with CARICOM, regional head. There is collective wisdom in that. There is prudent in that. Yeah, you could be, you know. And see, you know, what I always find intriguing is there are people in the Bahamas who might dare say, oh, you go up there and do this, that, and the next thing. And then if that in fact happens, and then these people come down on you, and their jobs, their businesses, their travel privileges and the like are then injured, they turn around, look at you and go, you stupid fool, what have you done to my life? If a president goes into another country, snatches its president, legitimate or illegitimate, use military force to do so. And Venezuela is not a small country. Venezuela has between 28 and 37 million people. Has significant enough military. Vast land, vast oil reserves, vast mineral reserves, including gold. And the United States of America decided, I'm going to get you. If you play crazy in this country, and for whatever reason, it could be legitimate, or it could be, you are indicted. They better send you, or I'll come get you. What you gonna do? What you gonna do? You send the defense force out? We have a call on the line, go ahead, call about listening to you.
Hello? Yeah, sorry.
Go ahead, call. Turn your radio down, listen to me. No, because we get feedback.
I thought you'd missed the first part of what Rubio said about whatever the president says he does. And he didn't say it in the confines of the American law or international law. He just said, however he decides, that's what he does. And I heard you previously when you said it's a scary moment for the world. And I don't think most persons are paying attention to it. I it seems as if some people are reluctant to speak clearly on this matter, because I remember back in 91 when they went after Saddam,
mm-hmm.
everybody was gung-ho on let's go get him.
Mm-hmm.
But I noticed this time everybody was a little bit, even though they understood or might have understand a little bit of Maduro's character and how he run Venezuela.
But you see, when it came to Saddam, remember the narrative was nuclear weapon.
Yes, sir. I understand that.
Yeah, and so that created even in our minds, all our minds, that created this notion: boy, you don't want a rogue state with nuclear weapons.
Mm-hmm.
And so people, and then you had a figure like Colin Powell giving him. And so there was a lot of things that made that seem more legitimate. It was only after the fact, when there wasn't any nuclear stuff found and the like, we started going, what
happened here?
Help us. In this case, the narrative is being refuted by people, because on the one hand, mm-hmm. Maduro is a drug trafficker, but on the other hand, there was a pardoning of a former indicted and convicted drug trafficking leader.
Exactly.
Right. So.
So the two towns talking.
Yeah. So I mean, for us, I'm not going to get caught up today in that narrative.
There is
the notion of what this message has sent to the world, and you see the world acting in that regard. Okay. Here at home, in I've seen even our Minister of Foreign Affairs take stances against the U.S. that I said to myself, wow, even a time ago, no sitting Minister of Foreign Affairs or Bahamian government would have taken that kind of stance. But watch the posture today. Different story. Because understandably, it's not a criticism by me. It's an understandable posture. Because we are in different times now. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Chivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chivago Lang, your host. We're so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, on this beautiful Monday afternoon, first Monday in 2026. If you want to give us a call on the show, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can call us on from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. Sometimes people say the quiet things out loud. Sometimes. The UN ambassador said, you cannot have the world's largest reserves under the management of a corrupt leader or a that kind of thing, illegitimate leader. Remember now, Maduro's capture was in pursuit of an indictment in the U.S. court. So this was about pursuing someone who was under indictment. Now, what happens under ordinary circumstances when you are indicted in the United States of America? Well, if you have an extradition treaty with another country, you, through diplomatic channels, you seek to get that person that way. You might even work with others to get the person as they move about and so forth, right? These things happen. So you're trying to execute justice. But you cannot have, this is what was said, you just heard it on the news, you cannot have the world's oil reserves, under the management of. Now, I want to tell you guys something before I go on a little further with this, right? This will not be a distracting reality for me going forward. It will not be. Talk about it today, because I think it's one of the most significant things that happened, if not the most significant things that happened in the world, beginning this new year. But so Maduro was the one under indictment. He is taken away. The deputy president wasn't under indictment. She's sworn in as president by the Supreme Court of Venezuela. So she is now fully the president of Venezuela, not a sitting interim anything. She is the president of Venezuela. She's not under indictment. But the Trump administration says it's going to run Venezuela until it can transition Venezuela to a government acceptable to itself once their demands are met. Do you all hear me? You cannot have the world's richest oil reserves under the management of. You get rid of Maduro, who is indicted, so he goes before the court. The deputy president has not been indicted, but is now the president of Venezuela. But according to President Trump, the U.S. will run Venezuela. When asked, well, who's going to run it? Is Secretary Hegseth and Secretary of State going to run it? He said the committee's going to run it. When asked about who's going to run it, Rubio said, no, nobody. We're not going to be running it. Now, let me tell you what information that I'm learning says that this is going to be a challenge for the United States of America. This may end up being a situation like Afghanistan, like Iraq, where you become an occupying force under immense resistance, but maybe not Iraq so much, maybe Korea, under immense resistance from, or Vietnam, from the the nationals because of their resistance to your occupation. Very costly occupation because, one, the sitting now president is a legitimate, legal, fully empowered president. The moral case for this is by, according to the sentiments of the leadership and people of Venezuela, suspect, and that there is formidable local resisting force in Venezuela that could make this a difficult, difficult undertaking. See, think about it, right? People mention that Venezuela has the world's largest oil reserves. People make that statement and think, oh, all of a sudden that gives you money. No, it doesn't. we have a great deal of aragonite here. Yes, okay. But that doesn't translate into value right away because oil has to be processed, extracted and processed. Venezuelan oil is heavy, heavy oil. It's not light oil. It has to be processed. Venezuela's oil infrastructure is not the most modern and best kept because they've been under sanctions from 2005. And so that has to be invested in and so forth and so forth. And so you got to extract the oil, that's money. You got to process the oil, that's money. You have to use infrastructure that's appropriate to do that, that's money. And then you have this one final thing that is critical. You have to have people to do it. Well, if the nationals of Venezuela decide, no, bro, we do not want to be an occupied country. We are not going to be complicit in this. And they don't cooperate with you, what are you going to do? Fly in tens of hundreds and thousands of U.S. citizens to do so, or people from elsewhere. And that's going to work in Venezuela because the Venezuelans are going to sit around and just let that happen. So this is a complicated reality. There's been no occupying force in human history where local resistance has been mounted in a unified fashion that has turned out well. None. None. I'm not talking about where the nationals yield and submit themselves. I'm talking about where they resist, as in Vietnam, as in Korea, as in Afghanistan. Right? It don't work. It is very difficult. And it doesn't matter that you have military hegemony over them. I keep saying to people, listen, I keep telling people, right? People say, oh, America has significant military force. It has nuclear weapons, et cetera. Yes. But nuclear weapons are an end game for the world. The use of nuclear weapon is not going to produce a winner. It's not. We're going to all be mashed up, including America, if they have to use it or others have to use it. Okay? And if you use military weapons unilaterally in a situation where people regard it as overreach, others are going to get, who have nuclear weapons, they're going to get frantic. See, when the nuclear bombs were dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, there was the Japanese aggression that you could say created a narrative, a predicate for it. It was the first time it had ever been used. It was not prevalent in the world, that technology, but it is today. So nuclear weapon use is an end game. Conventional warfare in a place like Venezuela could be a nightmare for a ground force. I mean, it can be. So it's not a simple matter at all. It is fact. In fact, could be, as many of the experts are saying, a very untidy situation for sure. But it is what it is. And I can understand why the Bahamas, CARICOM, and other countries show some restraint in how they comment on the situation. You have to know who you're dealing with, what you're dealing with, and you have to know your lane in the scheme of things. Now, if you decide on principle that a thing is worth dying in the ditch for, then you go there and do what you got to do. That's the truth. You see the Bahamas, like, if we decide as a people, we have to decide as a people that we can't have three people in Bay Street saying X, Y, and Z while everybody else saying them fools, I ain't getting in that, so forth, so forth. But if we decide as a people, X, Y, and Z, we ain't going to defeat nobody. No. We ain't going to defeat nobody. We ain't got no military to do it. We don't have no massive population to do it, etc. But we can mount a protest or a action that says this represents our greatest force against that which we do not agree. But that's only provided we're prepared to do it together. Otherwise, hold your tongue. Measure your words. And curb your actions so that you can live another day. In the meantime, you heard the news story just now about the Chinese workers working on a project, doing some painting. Lincoln Bean of the COI and his group filming this action. And you hear the passion with which someone is commenting on it. I do believe that is a significant observation. But I have questions. So I have questions. If you have Chinese workers working on anything today, painting, Chinese workers now, meaning they have to be on work permit, painting in New Providence or in the Grand Bahama, anywhere else, Chinese workers. Let me say this for clarity. If you have Chinese workers, not Bahamians of Chinese descent, we have Bahamians who are of Chinese descent, who still bear their Chinese surnames. Okay? You're not talking about them. We're talking about foreign Chinese workers who are working painting. I have these questions. Are they working on a project that's been funded by the Exim Bank of China? Because under the rules of the Exim Bank and under the contractual arrangement, you could have such a thing. But why the government of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas would borrow money from the Exim Bank for that purpose, I do not know. And if a private concern went ahead and borrowed that money, then tell us. That's, I will borrow Chinese Exim Bank money to do this project. I can't see that, but I'm saying. Then that's why I'm using Chinese labor and Chinese material. I could see that. That's the first question. I'm asking the question of the Minister of Labor and them. Chinese workers working in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, are they working on a project funded by the Exim Bank? Okay. If they are not working under a project funded by the Exim Bank, if they're not, and I doubt they are, quite frankly, I doubt that seriously, but I could be dead wrong. Are those Chinese workers to which Lincoln Bain and his team point, are they on work permit? Are they on work permit? And if they are on work permit to whom? And for what? See, every work permit has attached to it a
specificity of employer and employment. So if you are here to do domestic work, you can't do construction work. If you're here to do construction work, you can't do domestic work. So are those Chinese workers on work permit? On work permit to whom and to do what? And if they are doing painting, as we are being told, why are they doing painting if we have available painters? And have those work permits or those jobs been advertised as is required by the rules of immigration? See, if I'm Mr. Bean and those, I mean, pointing it out, it matters, and that's opposition politics. That's what you should be doing. So I don't want nobody running on, but oh, that's what they should be doing. That's what they should be doing. That's what the FNM should be doing. That's what the DNA should be doing. The COI should be doing. If you are opposed to the government, you see things that you would regard as contrary to law, policy, practice, interest of the Bainan people, you should point it out. But you should do more than that, right? You should ask these legitimate questions. Because in some circumstances, you might get it wrong. You may not have all the facts. And there may be facts supportive of a situation. Right? On the face of it, Chinese workers painting and painting, what did they say? Painting rims? Working on parks? On the face of it, that just don't seem right. That's like a PPP for a park for $5 million? Like, on the face of it, that just don't seem right. Right? But, you know, you may not have all the facts. Says, this text says, good afternoon, happy new year to you, Mr. Lang. I'm shocked at the turn of events in Venezuela. However, I am not so surprised that this is happening at this time. I was more shocked at the January 6th events in the U.S., and this is a continuation of that same type of conduct. Interesting. Interesting. Very interesting. We are in an unprecedented era. Buckle up, as I believe this is only the beginning of the ride. Interesting. Very interesting. This happened around January 6th. Okay. So even more frightening is the fact that this was done without congressional knowledge or approval. So a discussion by POTUS to act solely on such a matter. The precedent, if unchallenged, is grave. Oh, thank you. It says, Pia Glover responded to the issues of the Chinese working on the park and said something to the effect that they were from the Friends of China group or something of the sort. She did make a response, but to be honest, many questions still need to be answered. No. So it doesn't, even if they are from the Friends of China, that's not my question. So that could very well be so. That they could be like the Friends of China. There's a Chinese association that does do things, have things, but they have, these are people who are legitimately resident in the Bahamas. And so if they are people who are volunteering their efforts and what have you, we should know that. So my questions remain the same. Are these Chinese workers on work permit in the Bahamas? And if they are on work permit, to whom? And if and for what purpose? If they were volunteering, if they are residents of the Bahamas who are Chinese and volunteering, that should be an easy thing to answer. That could be easy to answer because but under the circumstances, Bahamians should not be left wondering about this matter, because all that does is drives more narratives about whether you are undermining the laws of law, your own laws, and so forth and so forth and so forth. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Excellent show, as always.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you. Thank you for calling. We appreciate you.
I'm very curious and concerned at the same time. Could the Department of Immigration have a separate or be running a parallel situation, cabinet, folders, whatever, where they are issuing passports to certain groups of individuals that cannot be seen in the general ledger of passports?
I do not believe that, no.
Okay. Well, now having said that, is it possible for us to request, like on a weekly or monthly basis, the number of passports and the categories of passports that have been issued and continues being issued by this government?
You can request it. It's a legitimate request. Whether you get an answer, I do not know. Under a FOIA, you probably could request that information and would be entitled to it.
Okay. So then it might be something that we need to look into based on all of the conditions popping up in the front, right in the front of us.
Given the concerns of Bahamians about passports, if I were the leadership of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, I would volunteer that information to you.
Yeah, okay.
I would volunteer to give you reports on immigration matters in the Bahamas. Now, no government of the Bahamas has ever done this on any voluntary, regular basis, to be clear. No, none. So this isn't a Davis administration issue. None, no government has ever done this. But I would do so. I would have no difficulty saying to you, over this quarter, X number of citizenships were granted, and these were the categories of persons to whom they were granted. X number of work permits were granted, and these are the categories of those permits granted, and X number of passports issued to citizens, and so forth and so forth. I'd have no difficulty doing that.
You wouldn't. I mean, I understand that you are an honest man.
Yeah, but I could only speak for me now. I already answered your question. I could only speak for me now.
Yeah.
Well, I'm saying to you, your request would not be, to me, unreasonable.
Okay, so it sounds reasonable then. Well, then, saying that one individual might not be as forceful enough to grant the issuance from a request, would it be a good thing for maybe the opposition or someone who has a little bit more position than I would in my request?
I wouldn't ask the opposition to request it. I'd ask the opposition to commit to doing it. Request anything else.
Well, do you think this is necessary now, seeing that all these conditions are just popping up?
I think if you are interested in ensuring that people have a sense of confidence in the integrity of your system, even if their lack of confidence is illegitimate, I think you should do it anyways, because the one thing you want in a democratic society is confidence in your institution by your citizens, because that confidence makes them want to cooperate, collaborate, and coordinate with you more, and that makes for a better society.
Man, your response makes you a perfect diplomat. I thank you, sir.
Okay, take care, my friend. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago, and I'm your host. We're going to take a break. I pay our respects to our marvelous sponsors, and we'll be back after this break.
Everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
West Plaza has so many stores, I've been trying to find a sensible way to list them all. There's CBS Bahamas, the Ashai Institute, BENC Snack World, Bamboo Shack Bahamas, Air, the Athlete's Foot, NBTC, Games and More, John Bullfine, Threads Alive, Bahari, Dairy Queen, 700 Wines and Spirits, Sandy's, Clarkson Island Luck, Starbucks and Lowe's Pharmacy, plus Marco's Pizza and Lorraine. Southwest Plaza, what a wide array of stores. Southwest Plaza, stop by today and explore.
Boost your buying power with a margin loan at rates as low as 7.5%. A margin loan offers convenient flexibility, freeing up capital without liquidating your investments. Whether you're looking to diversify, fund a business opportunity, or refinance higher cost debt, RF provides access to cash within 48 hours for any purpose. Tailored, effortless, powerful. Discover how a margin loan can work for you. Visit rfgroup.com or call 603-6000. RF Bank and Trust. Money at work.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters
masters, bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabago Lang, your host. We're so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, on this beautiful first Monday in 2026. A happy new year to you again. If you want to give us a call, please feel free to do so on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. This text says, what about Gaddafi? He was not seen as a bad leader. Furthermore, there are very few leaders who are seen as upright. America was wrong, and the UN is useless. Okay? It says, only Bush and Blair were gung-ho on Iraq. The so-called coalition of the willing was non-existent. Powell's intelligence was proven false, yet no consequences. Okie dokie. This says, yet UK and the US were not the only forces involved with the invasion of Iraq, though. How about that? Was only the UK? Do you have anything to say to that? So they might not all countries might have been on board, but it wasn't only the UK and Britain that went ahead. Just laugh out loud, you sound like you're confused, like the rest of us. Who in charge? You know the greatest irony, for months, and I mean months, decision after decision, I have literally been wondering if the U.S. administration is studying the way the Bahamas runs and taking lessons. It's uncanny. Who's in charge of what? In charge of what? You mean, I don't know. I'm not sure what you mean. But does it matter? Trump expressed interest in controlling Venezuela's oil years ago. Nigeria is also oil rich. The petrodollar is struggling to survive. Yeah, that's a narrative that's out there, but that's an oversimplification of things in terms of how things work in the world. So, but if that's a narrative you want to buy into, no problem. It says, hey, Lang, you need to study the Monroe Doctrine. It's the cornerstone of American foreign policy. By the way, didn't George Bush 1 do the same thing in Panama back in 1989 with Manuel Noriega? I don't need to study the Monroe Doctrine. I'm quite familiar with the Monroe Doctrine. Actually, the Monroe Doctrine has been in abeyance in America for a very long time. So you can't claim America imperialism over the last 40 or so years under the Monroe Doctrine at all. Now, there are people who are invoking notions of the Monroe Doctrine, calling it the Donroe Doctrine now, but to suggest that it has been an abiding policy and principle of the United States of America over the last, say, 20, 30 years in particular, no, not at all. Noriega, something was done with Noriega, whether it's the same parallel, I don't know. But you know, I don't know if it's the same under the same parallel, but it, you know, there are certainly similarities. This text says, is this the same president who was in charge of Venezuela when the people could not find any food and groceries and food stores? They were forced to eat pets. Can this prime minister in the Bahamas be removed like the president of Venezuela? Is that what you want? Is that what you think should happen? Is that the kind of world you wish to live in? Or were you just being funny? Hey, all you have to do is decide. Can it happen? Of course it could happen. If the United States of America decided to remove the prime minister and governor of the Bahamas, there's nothing we could do about it. Not one single thing. Not one thing we could do about it. And the fact that it's been willing to do it in whatever circumstances it could, it indicated, whether now or in the past, because Maurice Bishop was removed by the United States government from Grenada. Noriega was removed. Saddam was removed. Gaddafi was removed, and so forth. If the United States decided to do it, we can't do nothing. We can't do anything. I tell you this much. I ask you this question. Can you see this happening in China? If China's prime president became the most corrupt person on planet Earth and decided he was dealing drugs, which, mind you, remember, the United States said that fentanyl and all these some drugs is being sent to the United States by China. Remember that? I want you to picture a United States military force going into China and removing Xi Jinping. Imagine that. I want you to imagine going into the United Kingdom and moving its prime minister. I want you to imagine imagine them going into Russia and moving Russian president. And if that happened, what would you term it as? If that happened, if Russia went into any country in its region and sought to remove its president, what would you call that? I'll tell you what it was called in Ukraine. It's called an act of war. That's what it was called. And if it happened in China, what do you think it would be called? I think it would be called an act of war. But do you think not? How would the Chinese receive it? So sometimes we calculate actions based on who we're taking that action on, right? And to be sure, we can be acted upon, perhaps with impunity. Because if the world decided, well, child, that's just yours, ain't nothing I could do about that. Dog eat your lunch. It's no different than you standing around getting beat up by people or someone, and nobody comes to intervene. Nobody. Remember the lady who was beaten badly by the guy, and only when somebody came out and intervened, it was right in Bahamas, was their rescue. If people decide to watch, and decide this, you know, remember the story Jesus told about, and I'm not talking about this in the context of Maduro, because, you know, again, I'm saying this, that's Maduro, but I'm saying in terms of the principle of the matter, whether you think the principle is right or not, remember Jesus told the story of the Levite? I mean the story of the fellow who had been attacked, robbed, and this one walked past, and the parable of the Good Samaritan, this one walked past. Say, listen, child, me, I ain't getting myself in no problem. And the next one will pass, and say, I have business to do, and the next one pass, and so forth and so forth. It wasn't until the Levite and the walked past and decided, the Good Samaritan walked past and decided he could do something about it. Jesus asked this question. He said, let me ask, because they asked him, who is my neighbor? After they asked him, what is the greatest of all the commandments? Jesus said, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. He says, and the second is like unto it. The second is similar to it. The second is related to it. It's connected to it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And they ask him, yeah, you know, this is what legal people always do. Legal people always, rather than trying to embrace the principle, they're always trying to find a way out. Who is my neighbor? In other words, give me a definition of my neighbor so I don't have to be troubled by spreading my love too wide. And Jesus told them a parable about the man who had been attacked on that bloody path. And he said, after the Good Samaritan, and the words Good Samaritan in the context of then Jewish tradition, well, they were almost contradictory words because there was no Good Samaritan to a Jew. And so Jesus asked them, if this man who was a Samaritan helped that man, who then was his neighbor? You know, Jesus was telling them a more important point about who is my neighbor. Because anyone in need becomes someone who needs me. And what Jesus was saying, it was more important for you to be a neighbor than for you to know who is your neighbor. It's more important for you to be a good neighbor than to simply try to figure out who is my neighbor. And that's the question. I was asked the question. So if people decide they're not going to do anything about what's being done to you, dog eat your lunch. That's just the reality of things. Anytime mobs in the Bahamas decide that they can take any one of us out and there's nobody to protect us, we out. Done away with. And that's why you have to live in a world with rules. That's why you have to live in a world with laws. Not just in your country, not just in your community, but in the world. You have to live with rules, because in a world with no rules, the bully is boss. That's the truth. The bully is boss in a world with no rules. This says, the who is in charge was a comment on the conflicting explanations on running Venezuela. Oh, I see. Given by Trump and Rubio that you detailed. Oh, I see. I think they know who in charge. Mr. Trump is in charge. You ain't any way but that. Mr. Trump is in charge. The narrative might not have been worked on for synchronicity, but who in charge, they know. They know exactly who's in charge. There's one thing that's true in America today, and ain't nobody in doubt about who's in charge. Good afternoon, Mr. Lang. The U.S. president has hinted at making Canada the 51st state. Since their military is so large, do you... I deliberately kept Canada out of my examples, like if they went into China, went into Russia, went into UK, because I don't know. I think Canada would be a forceful resistance to that for sure. I really do. I do. But, you know. Lying, they didn't remove Saddam. They kill him. They won't. Try that in China. They will be a minor. This is Lindsey Graham just said Cuba's days are numbered. Trump followed up by saying Cuba is ready to fall. America must be stopped from carrying out regime change. And who can stop it? Who can stop it? The only possibility of stopping American action in this regard is World War III. That's the only possibility. A coalition of other nations coming up against America, which is not a thing to be fathomed by any of us. All right? So be clear on it, my friend. Powerless people in a world community can only benefit from global acquiescence to collective negotiated rules. Otherwise, you and I are subject to the might and rightness of the might. That's it. That's what it is. Nothing else, nothing more. I don't live. I tell my kids, all of them, I said, let me tell you something. There are people stronger than you in this world. Okay? Don't be stupid. Don't think you're the strongest, mightiest anywhere in the world. When you come up against someone who is threatening you, understand who you are threatening you and assess the situation, because if you assess that they are stronger than you, you have now got to act with wisdom. Because strength is not going to be your ally. Not in that circumstance. Now, if you have to fight, you fight, because you don't have a choice. But if there's any other way, if you wish to survive, you have got to acknowledge that against which you come. So ain't no pretense no more. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Are y'all ready, kids?
Aye, aye, Captain!
Guess who's had Burger King Nassau? SpongeBob SquarePants. That's right, splash into any Burger King Nassau location and try the all-new SpongeBob Whopper. Flame-grilled beef patty topped with SpongeBob secret sauce. All the fixings you love on a yellow sesame seed bun. And kids, dive into a BK Kids meal and get a fun SpongeBob SquarePants character toy, no matter your age. SpongeBob Whopper combos are waiting for you at Burger King Nassau, where Flame Grill tastes better.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to I'm Shivago Lang, your host. Welcome to these remaining moments of the first show of 2026. If you want to call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. From the Family Islands, you can call us on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. This text says, I agree with you. Canada will be a force for sure. I was having a debate recently about it. I remember when the financial blacklisting began in 2000. I remember lots of talk about, the Ingram administration was capitulating. Some of that talk was from the Progressive Liberal Party, too, as opposition. The Ingram administration is capitulating. This is unlawful. We shouldn't stand for this. These laws that we were passing, the financial package that we had passed, these were unconstitutional. I remember some of the talkers. I remember I could call their names right now today. And so forth and so forth. We understood at the time the practical realities of who was behind what. And we understood what they could do in crippling the economic circumstances of the Bahamas far beyond financial services. It was no different than this military stuff. Everything that a power like the United States of America would want to do to you, they don't have to do militarily, especially a country like the Bahamas. You all remember how Bahamian banks have been talking about the importance of correspondent banking? You remember that? Correspondent banking is how Bahamian banks, the banks operating in the Bahamas, RBC and all of them, Frank Bahamas and them, they actually facilitate financial transactions in the United States of America using corresponding banks. So a Scotia Bank might have a Bank of America, and somebody else might have a Chase Manhattan Bank, and so forth and so forth. And this is why the SWIFT system works for you and allows you to pay your children's school fees and pay your doctors and them in the United States of America and all that kind of stuff, and pay all your commercial just interest and stuff, bills and stuff like that. Well, an American government could just choke you through that system. Choke you. They don't understand. One troop in here. And then you wonder, well, I can't pay my child's school fee. Child can come home. I can't get to pay the doctor. Can't go get the procedure I need. I can't pay my vendor. Can't get the products you need. Therefore, we on the ground can't get the products we like to have. Why? Because America sent a note to the people and said, listen, you see the Bahamas there? We're not sure about them anymore. So you treat every transaction emanating from the Bahamas with the greatest scrutiny. And so now the people taking a month, 2 months, just to scrutinize one transaction from you. One transaction, you wondering what's going on. Not one military force has been introduced to the Bahamas yet. We understood what we were dealing with. Understood it. Now, under the military action taken, not in the Bahamas, but taken in Venezuela, you listen to your leadership today. Listen to them in the region today. Listen to them in the world today. Because people understand who they're dealing with. All that big talk. Do you understand? What did Secretary of State Rubio say? The message set out. You now have a president who will do what he says he will do. He didn't say do what he says he will do within the context of American law, international law. He said will do what he says he will do. End of story. And then what you will do? You can close your mouth, chew your mutton, and pray to God it all works out. That's what you can do. I listened to an interview by Mia Motley. Mia Motley has been by far the most vocal stand-up leader in the Caribbean when it came to any issue that she felt challenged the principles of international rule and law and so forth and so forth. Mia Motley was asked, what is Barbados's posture? And she said, we are waiting to have a collective response of CARICOM. She says, but I will say this. Barbados has always subscribed to a notion that small countries like ours fare better and best in a world with international rules. That's it. She didn't say, she said, I can understand the president of I can understand the United States concern about any trafficking of drug to its territory. And so whether right or wrong, X, Y, and Z, no definitive statement of opposition or anything coming from Myanmar. You know why? She understands the hour in which she exists, in which the airspace around Barbados has been affected by, and therefore the ground space in Barbados has been affected by, the actions taken by the United States of America in Venezuela. This is the world in which we live. That pragmatism becomes the rule of the day. So there you have it. There you have it. But again, as I indicated, we talked about it today. We will not be overwhelmed by this and distracted by this. There are many, many, many issues left to go on. This is the year, 2026. This is election year. Bahamas will either keep the government it has or it will change the government it has. This year. When will it be? January? No, not likely. February? I don't think so. March? Possibly. May? June? April? Not likely. May? Possibly. June? Doubtful. July, doubtful. August, doubtful. September, probably should happen. It must happen by then. Election is going to happen this year. One way or the other. Thank God. I thank God. Because I think we could use a mandating of things. Notice I didn't say who gets the mandate, because if the Progressive Liberal Party retains government, they will have a new mandate. If the opposition, any other opposition parties win, then they'll have a new mandate. But I think we need a new mandate to move forward. Clear the slate. Clear the slate as much as possible. So you can governance can be central again. So there you have it. The parties are preparing for election, and you should be preparing for election as well as a voter. You should be preparing. If you don't prepare as a voter for election, you are not being a very good citizen. You may be a good citizen, but not a very good citizen. You have to prepare. You have to understand and study who's out there, what they're saying, what they ain't saying, and so forth and so forth. And what is it that you think the country needs, and who do you think is in the best position to give that? And the heck with, listen, I know some of you are disillusioned. I know that you are pessimistic. I know that you are cynical. You guys, you as much as you can, man. You guys throw that out the window and just decide yourself. Someone has to govern. Someone does. Better you have a stay in the matter than not. Because you leave it to everybody else, and you guys hush your mouth then, and you get what you get. But you might get something better. You might get something good. You know what I mean? Whether the one stay and you get better that way, or the one go and you get better that way, you might. We cannot be giving up. We cannot be people with a hope. You can't. I mean, you shouldn't. You shouldn't want to be. I don't see the world through rose-colored glasses, but I do believe that hope is real, and you gotta have it. Listen, you've been listening to Z Live on Chicago Line, your host, God Spares Life. We'll be back with you again tomorrow, second day of this show in 2026. Have a great afternoon.